and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Representative Allison Schwartz from the great state of Pennsylvania joins us shortly. Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois in hour number three today. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. And you can see me on the TV. On StephanieMiller.com, on the Ustream.
Yes, we have links up at your Twitter feed, twitter.com/SMShow.
There you go.
And at your Facebook page.
Okay. Fabulous. Okay. This is
what?
Me. This is me before I go to spinning class. Here I am in my little...
Just don't pick your nose.
I've had a cold and I forgot about the camera. Just stop bringing that up.
Well, bring some Kleenex then.
Shush. Okay, let's... lots to do. Hey, listen, the lame duck is in session. Lots to talk about. Lots to do. Obviously, the tax cuts,
yep.
The first thing coming to the floor. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania joins us. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm always so happy to talk to you.
Good to be with you. It's the world's going to change on us a little bit in January.
Oh,
but,
I was going to say, happy to talk to you, not happy to be you. You know, Congresswoman, we've had enough discussions when the Democrats, of course, in the majority. But I have to tell you, even from somebody sitting on the sidelines, this gets a little depressing. This watching these, I mean, you would think these tax cuts with, you know, all of these Republicans trying to run and win on the deficit is just a no-brainer to let the, you know, the tax cuts for the top 1 or 2% expire.
Absolutely correct. I mean, it really is. Hard even for me to sort of understand why Americans are not clamoring for us to do this right, which means if we're worried about the deficit, we have an opportunity to at least make one strong step forward, which is to have our multimillionaires in this country pay a little bit more. It's not like we're taking all their money away. It's just a little bit more.
Well,
and many of them are saying, go ahead and do it. We're going back to tax rates of 10 years ago.
Right. During the Clinton years when things were pretty good.
Now they did some other things too, but there's no question that we need, and I believe the deficit is a serious problem in the long run, and so we need to bring some more revenues in to the federal government. And in fact, the Bush tax cuts did cost the federal budget about $1 trillion. So if you're worried about the deficit, we should take care of this. But if you're also concerned about the economy, and all of us are concerned about the economy,
right?
We have to do. No one action is going to make all the difference, but we know we need to have greater stability and predictability about our tax structure. We have some things we got to take a look at long term, but short term, we have an opportunity to say to all Americans, you're going to see your taxes stay low. For your first $250,000,
right.
I would even go to $500,000,
right?
Because most of the additional revenue that would come into the federal government really comes from over $1 million.
Yeah.
People who are they pass $1 million in their income.
Yeah, I mean, and the people to me, you know, in many cases, making the strongest case. You know, you've seen them on TV all this weekend. I mean, David Stockman, Reagan's budget director, you know, Warren Buffett, and other people saying this is just ridiculous. These tax cuts, you know, are not necessary. They are not helpful. The arguments we keep hearing over and over again don't make sense. You know, Mark Kirk is the new senator. He said, you know, extending jobless benefits have to be paid for. The Bush tax cuts must be extended no matter what.
The contrast here is so stark. It really is. That they, they say, no, we cannot extend unemployment benefits for 3 months.
Right.
It's going to be a cost. There's no question.
But Congresswoman, we've never.
10 years into the future, we want to make sure that multimillionaires don't pay a few percentage points more. And their argument that this is important to the economy is also incorrect, because if it in fact worked to give multimillionaires tax breaks to stimulate the economy, we would not be in this mess.
Right.
Because they have gotten these tax breaks for 10 years now.
I ask the question until I'm blue in the face, and I can't seem to hear an answer. That why they keep saying so that they won't hire if the tax rates change. You're like, they've had these tax rates for the last 10 years,
and
they're not hiring. They're laying you off. So what, you know, I guess, you know, what I get frustrated too is the mainstream media. You and I were just talking about, you know, what polling says. Well, you know, the latest polls say Americans agree with us. That we absolutely should.
They want us to, and look, we often say, find the common ground, get this done.
Yeah.
So this is the other frustration for Americans, and understandably, which is, there's some compromises here. Don't just put it off for a year. Don't put it off for 2 years. Don't add $70 billion a year to the federal debt, you know, the annual deficit. But instead, you know, get it done. So
yeah.
I've put out a compromise that says let's get to, you know, let's make sure that the tax cuts are extended, certainly for the first $250,000 of every American's income.
Right.
But even if we went to $500,000, even if we went to $1 million, I mean, they're still demanding that. That's
right.
Not good enough. Let's find that compromise. Let's
well, I mean, I don't even know.
Let's move forward.
Right, Congresswoman Shorts. I don't even know how you make that argument in this economy. That, you know, first of all, we've never not extended unemployment rates when the unemployment rate is this high in the history of our country. Right, in 40 yeah. years. I mean, it, just on every issue, you kind of go, what? How are you selling that? Yeah, let's cut your, you know, Medicare and your Social Security and your whatever, so that the top 2% can get richer. I mean, it doesn't even seem like politically an argument that sells.
And it's trickle-down economics, you know, work again. We could, okay, then there'd be an argument, but it doesn't. And, of course, then they throw back at us that, well, we're playing, you know, sort of class politics. We're saying, well, wait a minute, that's what they're doing. They are holding hostage the tax cuts for the first $250,000 of income for every American, even the first $500,000 worth of income, holding that hostage for multi-millionaires. And that really is just unacceptable. It's not fiscally responsible. And it is, you know, creating the kind of gridlock that Americans are saying, absolutely, where'd that come from? You know, so they're basically saying we don't want to do anything to really work with this president or with the Democratic Congress. And that's going to be really unfortunate because we have to work together to grow jobs, to move this economy forward, to make sure that the federal budget gets balanced.
Congresswoman, there comes the sticky question in terms of, you know, messaging. I mean, it must be more frustrating for you that has to get in there every day and try to do this stuff than for me watching it. But, you know, when I look at each of these issues and I think, you know, the American people largely side with Democrats on all the major issues. And yet look at what just happened, in your opinion, in the midterms.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happened is people said, you know, look, the jobs are not coming back fast enough. And, you know, maybe if we make some changes, it'll be better. So, I mean, it was in some ways a gut reaction to a bad economy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe, you know, you and I have talked about this a good bit too. I think that in some ways Democrats didn't stand up forcefully and say, look, some of the things we did were tough to do, but they were important to do for our economic competitiveness
right.
and the quality of life for our families, now and into the future. And the fact is it didn't turn around on a dime. Well, you know, we wish it did too. We're unhappy about the unemployment rates being so high, but we are taking actions to move towards a more fiscally responsible government and making sure that we're making the investments we need to compete in the global marketplace. And maybe we weren't forceful enough about it, but
right.
understand we were up against a lot also.
Right. Well, but Congresswoman, I think, you know, the point is, what now? I mean, the thing that I hear the most, I think, on the progressive side is frustration in some senses the Democrats are not being strong enough, that we could get this stuff done in the lame duck if we hold together. The problem is sometimes we can't even get all the Democrats on board, correct, like for the tax cuts?
Well, that is true, although let me say this, is that we can't pass these tax cuts without two or three Republicans in the Senate.
Right.
So, you know, even though all the Democrats, and of course we could pass tax, you know, this appropriate tax cuts for all Americans, you know, in the lame duck in the House.
Right.
We could get all Democrats on board in the Senate. We
mm-hmm.
need some cooperation from the Republicans. So this is a case where we ought to hold the Republicans accountable.
Congresswoman Shorts, what is the plan that you've heard? What's going to happen? Are we splitting this into two bills? I mean, how are you going to how are we moving forward on that? Call it a millionaire's bailout. How about that? Let's change the messaging.
I think that would be good to say
yes.
multimillionaires bailout, actually. And again, it's not like we're taking all their money away. We're just paying a little more taxes, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's, look, we all hope to be very wealthy someday. I mean, many of us think that that's, you know, many Americans think, well, it could be me someday. Fine, by all means, if you could, you know, grow your business, grow your income to make multiple millions of dollars, God bless you. That's great. You know, we're happy to do that. We just want you to pay your fair share.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's so amazing when people go, oh, is America ever going to be great again? Or, and you look at the tax rates that we used to be paying, and the fact that we're even arguing over 30% this or 30% that, you know, to me, ridiculous.
Right. Well, again, look, we have to get serious about making sure that the whatever spending, all of our spending, is necessary, appropriate, effective, and we have to work on that. We've been working on it. We'll keep working on it. But we do need to make sure that we have the revenues to meet the obligations that we have made to our seniors, to building our roads and bridges, to defending this nation. I mean, all the things that we need to do to make sure that we advance the quality of life and the economy in this country. So, you know, you asked what we're going to do.
Take me through the mechanics of how the tax cut vote's
going to... Well, there really isn't anything to take you through at this point, because we can pass it in the House. We need the Senate to find a couple of Republicans who are not going to say, I'm going to hold these tax cuts for middle-class Americans hostage to tax cuts for millionaires.
Yep.
We need two. You know, maybe three. Let's be generous. We need three Republicans to stand up for the middle-class Americans, and they're not willing yet to do it.
Say it with me, Congresswoman. Millionaires bailout. It's the millionaires bailout.
All
right. Changing the messaging. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
Okay. Good to be with you.
You too. Yep. There she goes. Allison, it's actually a commonwealth, you know.
The Pennsylvania is one of the four commonwealths in America.
Pardon me.
Yes.
I misspoke. But on everything else, I'm absolutely right.
That's right. Millionaires, multimillionaires bailout.
Yes. 18 minutes after the hour. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Tell those nosy people watching me in the Ustream to shush.
Oh, why?
Yes, some of the lettuce I'm eating is a little brown, but most of it is a perfectly good color.
Chicago Tony would like to tell you that if you put a paper towel in the bag, it keeps the lettuce green longer. Yes.
Oh, why, thank you, Heloise. Yeah, I'm not so much with the domestic skills. Somebody sent me the letters from kids to Michelle Obama, which are kind of cute and funny, and but having just spent the weekend with my best friend's two kids, mm-hmm. I told you it is like a hostage crisis.
Yes.
Yeah, you could tell. I mean, it was like a hold up in the morning. I want pancakes from scratch.
Did you make pancakes?
No, I don't even have the mix. I'm like, wait. Good luck.
You don't keep a box of Bisquick around?
No. Well, now I have one. Now I learned the hard way.
Okay.
I was like, from scratch. Like, I could easier launch a missile from NASA. From scratch? How do you make pancakes from scratch?
That's, oh, you should have just gotten it. Should have just gotten it catered. Like, you do everything.
Yeah, right. Julie in Seattle writes, hi, Mama. Below, you'll find cute, funny letters from Rugrats to Michelle Obama. Like their elders, many of these kids ask the First Lady and her husband for miscellaneous unicorns that fart glitter, which is true. Yeah, a lot of that's what I'm telling you, kids. Parents know what I'm talking about. 24/7 hostage crisis. Just
they're
demands,
grabby.
Demands, demands.
They're grabby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told you, test the 11-year-olds. My birthday's in 7 days. Feel free to send a gift. It's always vaguely sort of threatening. Vaguely kind of like, give me this. Or, you know, there's always like it's a dark threat of some kind of consequence.
Was she going to send Chicago Tony over to break your knees?
I don't know. At least I was able to come up with mixed pancakes. Because, you know, you get scrambly. You're like, I don't have pancakes.
Well, now you need to come up with a gift. What are you going to do?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, this is we're raising a nation of little I don't know. It's a hostage crisis. I'm just telling you. If you read these letters, they're mostly demanding things. I mean, now you know what it's like to be the president, not just dealing with asshat Republicans, but look at these demands. Can I have some reading letters from kids? Music, thanks. It was okay. This was in the New York Times. The dear First Lady Michelle. Oh, it's supposed to be adorable. It's supposed to be adorable, some of these letters from the kids. They're doing a compilation, kids' letters to Michelle Obama and to Sasha, Malia, and Beau. Would you like me to read some of them?
Sure.
Just welcome to my world, to every parent listening. It's getting near the holidays. Do you know what that's like? That is a hostage list of demands of North Korean proportions.
Yes.
It's not just, oh, mommy, daddy, this might be nice if I got this. It's get this.
Yeah.
Or
else.
Yeah. Okay. This one from Lewis in Los Angeles, age 10.
Mm, okay.
Dear Michelle. No, they're very informal with her. Dear Michelle, can I borrow some money? See? We're a nation of little grabby McGrabbersons.
Yes, we are.
No wonder we're going into the... See what I'm saying?
Someone on the chat room
People
says...
People just gimme, gimme, gimme.
Someone on the chat room says the magical word you say to children is no.
Make something. Do something. Look at this. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
You just say no.
No.
Computer says no.
Yeah, that's what I learned in Catholic school. Does God answer all our prayers?
No.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Oh. So sometimes the answer is...
Computer says no.
No. No. Okay, dear Michelle, can I borrow some money so we can move into an apartment and buy a new Mustang convertible? I don't mean to waste money. That's nice. He's going to be fiscally conservative with the money that apparently Michelle Obama will bring to his house in a big bag.
With a dollar sign on
it. With a dollar sign on it.
Yeah.
And she'll presumably be wearing a monocle at the time.
Yes, and a top hat.
Mm-hmm. I will use some of the money to buy a drum set and have a cool pool. Can I have $10,000 to buy my passport to go to Las Vegas? Send me a picture of the White House and the statue of Abraham Lincoln. Very, very demanding. That was a lot of demands in one letter to the First Lady.
My mom would have backhanded me for not saying please.
Just, can I please have $10,000 to buy my passport? Nation of little dopes, passport to go to Las Vegas. What? It's all this talk about the president's birth certificate. It's making kids crazy.
Yeah, these kids need to be spanked.
Oh, don't start that debate with me. All right. Michaela in Chicago, age 7, writes, Dear Obama family, I am going to be in second grade. Do you get a lot of threats? Oh, well, I can answer that one.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes,
they do, because there's a lot of angry racist douche nozzles out there, Michaela. Ask mm-hmm. your mom about the angry racist douche nozzles currently inhabiting the Tea Party. I have 9 rooms in my house. I would like to be the first woman to become president. Our dads know each other. Kids kind of, they don't have a lot of thoughts that connect, do they? They're sort of like, you know what I was first thinking when I read all these? They sound a lot like Sarah Palin. Just sort of a lot of random thoughts that don't quite connect. There's really no...
Flapping wires.
Yeah, just, I have 9 rooms, my dad knows your dad. Like, they're just...
ADD.
No thoughts that actually connect to the previous thought or the subsequent one.
Sometimes I'm like that.
It's like talk radio, these letters.
Yes.
It's just, what the... Are these a bunch of brain farts? What are these? All right, let's see. All right, wait, I have I have more.
Well...
I'm just saying...
We're going to have more time here after the break.
Hostage crisis.
Yeah.
This is what it's like. Demands, demands, demands. Every day. How'd you like to be the president, First Lady? Huh. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, you had more fans than I thought.
And only about 60% of them are prison inmates.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Join us, won't you? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I apologize in advance to my friends listening in my hometown of Buffalo, New York, but it's really cold here in L.A., isn't it?
It was 36 when I pulled into the parking garage at work.
God, yeah. I had to wear a sweater. Okay. You just become a complete puss the second you move to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's what I 37 when I was pulling in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. A lot of forced snuggling with my dogs. Do you do that? I don't know if you do it with your cat, but
when it's cold, the cat does
sleep
with me.
Snuggle with mama.
Yeah. When it's cold, the cat sleeps with me. When it's hot, he doesn't bother.
Exactly. They're kind of fair weather friends like that. They just won't be bothered with you when it's
right.
All right.
He comes to you when he needs you. And that's,
exactly.
Right.
All right. Can I have some more reading letters to the First Lady? I'm just saying, it was just weird to me. I read this in the New York Times. And having just spent the weekend with my best friend's 11-year-old and her 15-year-old, mm-hmm. constant hostage crisis. I want to know how parents deal with it. Apparently, I'm told some parents say no sometimes. Who knew?
Yes. Good parents do. And yeah,
this is why I'm not a parent. I would just cave. I would just like a deck of cards. I just fold like a deck of cards. Just whatever. Well, it'll take you to go get me mama some more box wine. Just yes.
I have never heard you say no to your dogs.
No, I don't.
Okay, then.
Yeah, no, it makes me laugh. I had lots of, you know, company this weekend and the whole like, oh, dear, are your dogs allowed on the sofa? I'm like, you better move fast if you want to sit down, for God's sakes. You can't move them. That's the only rule in my house. The dogs must never be moved for any reason.
Oh?
Yes.
You don't squirt a water bottle at them when you want?
You're a cat molester.
What?
All right.
I don't molest
my
cat.
You're not supposed to. I don't believe in spraying cats with water or whatever.
Why?
They don't. It's not. They don't like it.
You'd rather them chew through the power cords of things and electrocute themselves?
What, doesn't spraying water do the same thing? You spray water on your electrical cords?
If they're intact, sure.
All right, fine. All right, anyway, I'm just saying, I do not envy the president. He has had a tough year between the you know, 12 stitches in his lip and the midterms, and it was tough enough to get anything done with a Democratic majority, and I'm just saying, and now we have these 7-year-old demands. You know, these are letters to Michelle Obama. All right, this one, Juan in San Francisco. Dear Michelle Obama, please bring me every letter starts with bring me, give me, 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 me. Dear Michelle Obama, please bring me scary stories like what? The ones my second grade teacher has. For example, a book of scary stories that are very, very scary. Bring me a thing to put my books in because I have a lot of books and they are too heavy in my backpack. Please bring me a cute fish, too, like the ones in Finding Nemo. Well, that, you know what? She's already busy bringing a bag of cash to that last kid so he can buy a passport to Las Vegas or
whatever.
Now she's got to get cartoon fish and a backpack and a scary stories. Isn't she too busy policing our eating habits and whatever else Russia is she's up to? I don't. Okay. Let's see. Santos in Los Angeles, 8 years old. Dear Michelle, you are eating 100% healthy. Can you put my dad in a job? I'm eating healthy. I'm eating watermelon, melon, mango, and persimmons. I just want to have $200. Again, a lot of random thoughts, very much like Sarah Palin, a lot of these letters. Very not connected in any way, not necessarily kind of nonsensical ramblings. Okay. Sebastian in 13 in Brooklyn. Dear Michelle, my name is Sebastian. I did a report on you. I am tall and I like to sleep a lot, but some days I wake up early. All right, Sebastian, that's...
I'm sure she really needed to know that.
She didn't ask for anything. That was just a lot of declarative statements that made no sense. Okay. Dear Michelle Obama, this is from Andre in Los Angeles, age 11. Mm-hmm. Dear Michelle Obama, I think your husband should legalize immigration. Oh, yes, that. He'll get back on toot sweet. The Republicans will be more than helpful on that. Please, comes the demand. Please put a statue of me in Echo Park. Thank you. No, really, I want a tuxedo on the statue. Andre with some really kind of some... He almost has a rider. He wants a statue of him in Echo Park with a tuxedo on it.
Like in the section of Los Angeles or in the actual park?
In Echo Park.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Oscar in age 9 in Los Angeles as well. Dear First Lady.
Hey, lady.
Hey, lady. Could you tell Obama to stop the war because people are dying and give paper to the people that don't have paper? See, again, those things are a little bit incongruous and not necessarily morally equivalent, but maybe that hasn't dawned on him yet. Apparently, there's a paper shortage in addition to more paper. You decide.
It's the
more
because
important
the great
issue.
Paper shortage of 1965.
But if the president read this, he's like, well, the war, but I didn't realize the paper crisis.
Yeah.
Also, my dad works for the city. Can you give him more money? His name is Manuel. He works at the airport. Oh, okay. I'm sure they'll find him. And how many rooms are there in the White House? I live at 4142. The manager does not let us have a dog, and people that live there have a dog. Can you tell the manager we have to have our dog back? Oh, Oscar in Los Angeles. Yet another demand. Dear Michelle Obama, hi. Oh, this is from Aiden and Nicholas. Hi, dear Michelle Obama, we are 9 and 10 years old. We live in Boston. I think that you should shut down cigarette and liquor companies and...
No.
Oh, the president will get right on that as well.
Do not shut down the liquor companies.
Yeah, listen, now they're on my turf.
Yeah.
Aiden and Nicholas, talking to you. I think you should... because he wouldn't be called a socialist government takeover Kenyan Muslim or anything if he did that.
No, not at all.
Announcing today, I'm shutting down the cigarette and liquor companies.
You'd have to end up making wine with your soda stream.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I think you shut down cigarette and liquor companies, try to keep drugs off the street. Robots may be able to help you. We all appreciate your hard work to make America better. Aiden and Nicholas, 9 and 10 in Boston. Well, we are problem solvers, aren't we? Robots may be able to help. Hey, speaking of which, your insomnia problem has gotten really bad when I watched a Kindergarten Cop in the middle of the night.
Why?
Because that's what was on.
There wasn't anything better on?
It was the only thing I could find. I just did midnight, and I'm watching it. Our governor, when he was, because his cop partner got sick, and so then Arnold Schwarzenegger has to be a kindergarten teacher, which is funny because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so he's huge, and he has a funny accent.
And that's the one where he says, it's not the tumor.
That's exactly the line I was going to say that stuck in my mind. Yeah. I was half asleep, and yes.
Yes.
He says he has a headache, and the kid goes, it's probably a tumor. And he goes, he's not a tumor.
Yes.
Of any kind at all. He's not a tumor. Thank you. I haven't whipped that out in quite a while.
I don't think I've seen that.
He looked young.
Well, yeah, because it came out in, 1989, I think?
It's cute. It's adorable. Hmm. All right. I know. It's all right, what Mama does all night, just so you're wondering. And that's why now I sound like a lot of these 9-year-olds. I can't really put two coherent thoughts together because I haven't slept. All right.
But your cold sounds better.
It's a little. It's draining.
Ew.
Which is really,
dude.
Which is really attractive. It's in the attractive phase. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
We had just, as the parenting specialist of the Stephanie Miller Show, I just
sure.
thought I had to call
yeah.
in.
You're the one that brought the baby to the bar.
Well, we have a new baby to come to the bar. Baby Hannah arrived 4 weeks early, so my middle daughter has her. So we have a new baby, because Molly's old enough to order her own drinks.
That's
point.
True.
Look at you.
Yes.
You have a baby. In a bar.
Yes.
Yeah, so now Hannah, we can bring baby Hannah, though she's a little small. But we'll be bringing her as soon
sure.
as you come back to D.C.
Sure. Just for those of you that just tuned in, Sue did actually bring a baby to my appearance at a bar in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago.
And
all
sent
right.
you a picture of her with a kegger, with a, with a beer on tap. It's
yep.
very important.
Yep.
And she's a very happy girl. Look
yes.
at that.
Uh-huh.
So here's the thing. It's not really a parenting issue. I know you guys, yes, it's important to say no. But what this proves is that young children are Republicans. You see, you're born a Republican. You're greedy, you're willful, you have no logic, you want things your way, and if you don't get your way, you start blubbering and threatening and crying.
It's really true, isn't it?
Yeah, and then as children mature, become worldly, and become more generous, they learn how to be part of a social community, they turn into Democrats.
Yes.
Well, see, this is the thing we're dealing with right now. So with the tax cuts for the very rich.
Precisely.
It's like, yes, no, we need our, no. And we're like, no, you can't have that and balance the deficit. No.
The children who never learned how to share, take turns, learn to use their words to express their feelings,
yep.
who learn
yep.
that
I'm not a parent.
Is important.
I'm not a parent, but I am a good dog mom, as you know, and I think someone needs to hit John Boehner with a rolled-up newspaper. Just a little. No. You can't add $830 million to the deficit.
You can't be a good dog mom if you never say no to your dogs.
Oh, $830 billion, pardon me.
No, you have to say no. And you know what happened with Obama over the weekend where he got a busted lip? Today he needs to bust some lips at the meeting with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's excellent parenting advice.
Thank you. Thank you, baby in a bar mom. All right. There she goes. Sue in Rockville. He needs to imply he got that lip a different way. and the other guy looks worse or some...
Whatever.
Some such macho bluster. Hey, when's the big meeting?
Today.
Is it?
Yep.
Is it dinner? Is it lunch? What is it?
It's the Slurpee Summit.
Oh, they're having... I get it because he made the joke.
They're having
about
Slurpees.
That. Yeah, I'm sure that's what John Boehner drinks regularly.
They have a Rob Roy flavored Slurpee. I don't even know what that would taste like.
Ew.
Wow.
Ew. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Girls.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, so the big meeting is this morning, President Obama meeting with, who is it, McChinless and Boehner? Boehner?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. They are obviously, you know, here's the one thing that tells me more than anything, I can always get it wrong. Is it salt or start? Start.
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 Salt was a long time ago.
Does this give us any hope for working together? Seriously.
No.
This is pure politics. Meanwhile, as you were saying yesterday, that is a national security issue. And I thought, you know, Republicans, they aren't anything that they say they are. Mm-hmm. It is all about politics. There are, you know, things going unexpected now while they play politics. Yep. I mean, John Kyle, at least, he hasn't even given a reason. Because somebody was saying yesterday, you can't debate it on substance. Not getting this treaty done. Russia has signed it. We have signed it. It's they're just holding it up to make the someone was saying yesterday, I believe, they just want to make the president look bad because anything that gets done for this country, it's a victory for the president.
Yep.
So they gotta. I mean, it's like okay.
Oh.
I'm fine now.
Okay, good. Hooray.
No, it's just every headline I look at, Chris, it makes my head explode. It's just. Americans, not for the multimillionaire millionaires bailout, and that's what Republicans are for. What's a new poll? The public obviously overwhelmingly in favor of overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, okay. Okay, Mark Kirk, how about that guy?
Yeah.
Huh? How about that guy? For instance, the newly elected senator. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, so unless Congress acts, I believe, is today the deadline? Or they have to vote on unemployment, obviously. But 2.5 million Americans will lose their extended...
I think today is the deadline, yeah.
Yes, unemployment benefits. Even though unemployment is still above 9%, of course, and there are currently 5 unemployed workers for every job opening, in the last 40 years, the U.S. has never allowed jobless benefits to expire with unemployment so high. Just FYI. Historical fun fact for
GTK.
You. Yeah. At the same time, Congress also faced with a December 31st expiration of the Bush tax cuts. That would be the millionaires' bailout. Today, in two separate interviews, yesterday, Senator-elect Mark Kirk, Republican of Illinois, tries to bolster his fiscal conservative credentials by saying that extending unemployment insurance without finding spending cuts to offset it would be misguided because of the effect on the deficit. However, he also called for extending all of the Bush tax cuts, no matter what the effect on the nation's budget. How's that for some fuzzy math?
Yeah.
Here are the not-so-fun facts. Kirk actually claimed extending benefits, which cost $60 billion for 1 year, $12.5 billion for a 3-month extension, would lead to an Irish-style debt crisis. While glossing over the $4 trillion cost of extending the Bush tax cuts for a decade, $830 billion of which goes to only the richest 2% of Americans. Even Joe Scarborough, do you say that? Former Republican congressman.
Right.
Saw through Kirk's double talk, asking, if the tax cuts are not paid for, though, do we not risk going the way, as you say, of Greece and Ireland? And they have no explanation. It's just, there's no explanation for how that makes any sense at all. And they're still bragging about it.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Cheney was recently bragging that he was the one vote that passed the Bush tax cuts. I love how literally, this was like the Bush, what do you call it? book tour. Really? You're really trying to spin the Bush presidency as a success? Like, really? Iraq was a success now, and apparently their economic policies, a fabulous, magical success.
Yep. That's what they're saying.
So, as Congresswoman Shorts was just saying to us, the tax code essentially would revert to where it was under Bill Clinton, where you remember his famous saying about a rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I don't know who it was. Oh, I think it was Warren Buffett has the joke now that a rising tide lifts all yachts. These days, that's what these tax cuts do.
That's funny.
Yeah, the rowboats were kind of scuffed. Hey, rude! Oh, pardon me. The expiration of the Bush tax cuts was put into law to mask their long-term costs, by the way, so that they could pass under budget reconciliation rules and thus not be subjected to a filibuster. So I don't even know if people remember that. Even so, the second round of tax cuts barely scraped by in the Senate. It was a tie, and Dick Cheney did have to cast the deciding vote to move the Bush tax cuts forward. Britt Hume, oh, he has a new documentary. I can't wait. 6 hours of Britt Hume.
Ew.
Won't that be great?
Good God.
Will there be subtitles? Because it is difficult to understand exactly what he's saying. In the Britt Hume documentary, Cheney brags about how his vote was the culmination of a 30-year push to put supply-side economic theory into practice. By the way, David Stockman, who is Reagan's budget director, right, just said that doesn't work. And took his own party to task for this whole theology of tax cuts. Following the Bush tax cuts, the country, quote, registered the weakest jobs and income growth in the post-war period. Overall monthly job growth was the worst of any cycle since at least February 1945. Some more historical, not so fun facts. Household income growth was negative for the first cycle since tracking began in 1967. Under President Clinton, job creation, GDP growth, wage growth, and business investment were all stronger than they were under Bush. In fact, the only economic indicators that went up under Bush were deficits and the poverty rate.
Yep.
But Cheney is still growing as the country tries to crawl out from the economic catastrophe that occurred on his watch. Thanks again, Dick.
Coming from the Dick desk.
Mm-hmm. David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, you guys. Hey, Stephanie, if you could corral all the other progressive shows and just demand that the Democrats ditch the whole decorum thing, because Republicans do not have decorum in the Congress at all. I mean, look how they're behaving. I mean, they're all the networks, and I'm surprised that MSNBC allows, you know, Mark Kirk to run, to just lie in front of the camera about the tax cuts and their lack of, they're having no plan to create the jobs or to pay for the tax cuts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, what do you call it? Keith Olbermann has taken up my cries by Boner, where are the jobs? It's been however many days since you've been in office. Yep. Where's the jobs now?
I know, and it's painful to watch, you know, Dick Durbin. I mean, they all are nice people, but for 2 years, I mean, come on. I think the people are just really sick of watching the Republicans just talk out of both sides of their you-know-what.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem so far is, David, is exactly what we thought was going to happen, is all this talk of, you know, working together and bipartisanship.
Yep.
We're the only side doing it. You know, already the president has offered, you know, a pay freeze for federal employees. It's like, and again, you know, you can kind of go, okay, well, that's a teeny tiny drop in the bucket. But, you know, I suppose everything does help. But you got to, you do have to have two sides interested in working together, and they're not.
Exactly, and with this WikiLeaks, with all the, you know, the information that's been coming out, it shines a searing light on how the Republicans and the Bush administration behaved during that time period.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the WikiLeaks, I was just saying to Chris, David, I just think in general it's not good for America, for the world. I don't have the biggest grasp on foreign issues, but it seems to me that the secret part is kind of important in diplomacy.
I know, but the next batch of documents is supposed to shine a light on one particular bank.
Yep.
On the banking crisis, yeah.
It's probably Goldman Sachs because of Paulson and his shady behavior as Treasury,
yeah,
Treasury Secretary.
It's information that Paulson would never allow to see the light of day. But
or the network.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right. Well, there is some good to come out of this, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that maybe. I mean, what I'm saying is it's a little scary in terms of international stuff going on, whether it's North Korea or Iran or whatever. But first of all, the banking crisis, I kind of think we know what happened. And I'm sure the details will be interesting, shall we say. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky coming up next hour, the rockin' Congresswoman from Illinois. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Yvonne did with another unsolicited testimonial to the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors, whom we love. Mama, I have listened to your commercials about Carbonite for some time now. I kept meaning to get around to it. Oh, Yvonne.
Uh-oh.
This is the saddest letter I get. There is a happy ending. Okay. However, it's a cautionary tale.
All right.
Today, while watching a funny Leslie Nielsen video, oh, who can watch enough of them? Did you see the montage on Olbermann?
No.
Funny, funny man. My screen went blank and the computer made a crazy sound. Fortunately, I was able to get back on immediately, but as you can imagine, my heart skipped more than one beat thinking about all my pictures and documents on my laptop that would be lost. Needless to say, the first thing I did when I got back on the interwebs was go to carbonite.com. And enter Stephanie, I'm guessing. I'm currently doing my initial backup. It was so easy, I couldn't believe it. I used offer code Stephanie, so you can get credit for steering me in their direction. Thanks, Steph. You're welcome, Yvonne.
Always use the promo code Stephanie.
Please. Please enter Stephanie.
Yes, enter Stephanie. With your backup.
I am not sending that part to Carbonite.
Your hard drive. All right. All right. And if you are here in the Los Angeles area, come spin with Mama at Yas Yoga and Spinning. Fabulous. Go
they
to
have
Yas.
Yoga and spinning?
Yes. You can do a yoga class,
yes,
a spinning class,
do.
Or the combination class. Go to Yas.
What, spinning and yoga?
Mm-hmm.
You bet your asana.
It is go to Yas, the number two, go to Yas.com.
No,
four locations, Silver Lake, East Costa Mesa, downtown L.A., and Venice. So check it out. Come with Mama. Here we go. There's a special Stephanie sent me off. There's no need to enter me. All you have to do is say Stephanie sent me, and you get a special offer. All right.
I'm not a spinning kind of, I'm not a cardio kind of guy.
I know. That's because you're just a big hunk of muscle, steroid-fueled muscle.
No.
You can barely walk. You're one of those guys.
That's because my... Back is jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Huh? Yeah, wonder why.
All right, let's...
deadlifting 9,000 pounds.
I don't deadlift.
What could possibly go
I don't
wrong?
Deadlift, I don't squat because of my back.
Uh-huh. All right, WikiLeaks, what is the latest breaking news? The next ones are supposed to be what? Oh, the banking crisis. Yeah.
I hope he's in a secure, undisclosed location. Mr. WikiLeak.
Ecuador has offered him residency, safe residency.
Ooh. Yeah. The most troubling seems to be the whole North Korean situation, which is somewhat explosive as it. And what the hell? China doesn't know. That's the main thing. We've been sucking up to China all this time, and they don't know about North Korea. China knows less about and has less influence over its close ally, North Korea, than is usually presumed. In cables, China sometimes seems unaware of or uncertain about issues ranging from who will succeed North Korean leader Kim Jong-il to the regime's uranium enrichment plans and its nuclear tests. Good. Well, good. Thanks, China. Thanks. Thanks for everything. Boy. You know what they should ask? Rupert Murdoch. Isn't he very close to Kim Jong-il?
Yeah. How about that story?
What's that all about, Jim?
You want me to read the story?
No, I just, okay, I didn't. Just we just
I
a little setup.
Oh,
sure.
I didn't realize you didn't have the setup for that. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll have to find that then. Well, basically, Rupert Murdoch is actually funding a little.
Sure, I have that story.
Okay.
I didn't think it needed an elaborate setup.
You knew.
Oh boy.
Okay. Thanks, Jim, for that seamless.
Well,
okay, here's the stuff. I'll just do the setup. Kim Jong-il and Rupert Murdoch. Maybe it's a marriage made in heaven unless you're a software developer looking for a job here in the United States. Bloomberg reporting that Murdoch's News Corp hires North Korean developers to create mobile phone games. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
K to the J to the I, L, and the Hazy. To whom do I have the pleasure of speaking?
G'day, Mr. K. It's Rupert.
Hello, Mr. M. How's it hanging?
Lying to the right, as usual. How's your little project going?
I'm kicking South Korea's ass. I even got set up here and thinking the People's Republic is an ally. What a rain brain.
What now?
A rain brain.
Come again?
A doofus.
Too right. I was referring to your little mobile phone game.
Oh, you mean Men in Black, Aryan Assault?
That's the one.
Not so fast, Mr. M. First, I gotta have a Chevy Blazer filled with Zagnut and Regavurian.
A
what?
Regavurian.
Oh.
You drive a hard bargain, Mr. K. Would you settle for a Subaru full of Vegemite and a case of Fosters? I forgot to use the phone effect. Okay.
You gotta be putting my rig. Everybody know Fosters is crap.
Bloody oath. I'll make it 2 cases of Victoria Bitter.
Now you're talking.
Mr. K, this may be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Bonza! Came out!
We'll peek into their private world, apparently.
We're a little rusty on the skit skills.
Thanks for calling all those audibles on the air, Jim. Okay, that was good. It was almost like, you know, it was like the making of. It was like a behind-the-scenes documentary of the...
I assume you had the story once I...
Yes! Why does Rupert Murdoch hate America so much? That's all I want to know. Why is he in bed with fascists? And...
He's funding the North Korean regime.
Exactly.
Too wrong.
What the fuck?
Well,
And so Fox News revenues are funding the North Korean regime.
Mm-hmm.
And brilliant.
Saudi Arabian money is funding Fox News.
Mm. Why does Fox hate America so much? Why? All right. So the WikiLeaks obviously is the big story in the news. So Attorney General Eric Holder urged news organizations to act in a responsible manner in dealing with the classified information. He said, "I look at it, the law as it exists, and there's a real basis to believe that crimes have been committed here." He said there's an active ongoing criminal investigation. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Hillary Clinton called it an attack on the international community.
The United States deeply regrets the disclosure of any information that was intended to be confidential, including private discussions between counterparts or our diplomats' personal assessments and observations.
She looks a little stressed out.
On the other hand, this is how the Vietnam War came to an end with the Pentagon Papers. I actually think it was a little bit after. Putting pressure on the government, I think... can be a very good thing, especially once people realize what's really going on in Afghanistan, and it's not good.
Well, and the other thing that I thought is the fact that the main people that want us to attack Iran, other Arab countries, it's like
Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see what one of the things Clinton said, though? She said one of her foreign counterparts said, you should see what we say about you.
Yeah,
we have that.
Hillary Clinton.
Well, don't worry about it. You should see what we say about you.
So it's kind of... Hillary Clinton condemned, obviously, the release, yada, yada, yada. The United States strongly condemns this. She said, let's be clear, she said the disclosure not just an attack on the United States foreign policy and interests, it's an attack on the international community. She frequently looks stressed, a little sleepy, a little tired, tough job as it is. She's apparently been on the phone, she's been working the phones to call her, all of her counterparts to, you know, just kind of... You know,
smooth things over.
Yeah, we've all had to do that. You know, you may hear something that sounds right away is going to sound bad, but
I didn't know the mic was on. Sorry,
I didn't.
Oops.
I didn't say it. It's not like it sounds. That's not exactly what I said.
It's
a spin. It was twisted in a way that I. I wonder if the apology music. She just had it playing the whole time while her secretary got the Rolodex going. Oh God! All right, who's next? All right, the thing I said about it's not exactly what it sounded like. Jay in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
Listen, I'll be quick with 2 points. If Rupert Murdoch is doing business with North Korea, revoke his citizenship, take the Wall Street Journal, take Fox, and send him back to Australia. I mean, it's just that simple. This is all I need to hear.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine how this story would play on Fox News if this were a liberal, right?
Oh, absolutely. They would talk nonstop.
Yeah, they'd be hung for treason already, whoever.
And with regards to the WikiLeaks, it sounds gossipy. It's not like it's launch codes or bank numbers or, it's nothing like that. It's just gossipy, like, this is what these people are like behind the scenes. So, and if people are embarrassed, tough. Get over it,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems to me the more important issue is, how people get access to this. I mean, I don't know his rank.
A
private, yeah. Yes. I mean, so that's...
Listening to a Lady Gaga CD.
Yes, he did all this with a Lady Gaga CD. Yes.
Yes. Now, he needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah. Wow.
And if this is treason...
I thought I'm a dope technologically. I've had invasions of privacy because I'm a dope, but you'd think the United States government might have a better idea. It was like ridiculously easy how he did this, right?
Do privates in the Army listen to Lady Gaga a lot? Really?
Don't ask, don't tell if you listen to Don't ask, don't tell thing there. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with all the latest on the WikiLeaks as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah!
No, let's go! Let's go crazy. Let's get done. The fun purple of an energy. Hey, put up in the truck. Let's go!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steffi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But I think this new WikiLeaks, I think it should be renamed SnarkyLeaks.
SnarkyLeaks, yes.
Yeah.
They are particularly snarky.
A lot of it's so gossipy. I mean, like the Qaddafi stuff. I mean, come on. And I can't.
Oh, about the Ukrainian nurses and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to know what Hillary Clinton means when she said, you should see what they see about us.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't appreciate the comments about my cankles, but it's fine.
Exactly.
Work together.
So anyway, but this kind of stuff keeps my my mind off our new Republican regime in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And our new drunken orange overlord, John Boehner, who will be meeting with the president this morning.
That's right.
I understand.
Sorry, well, not going to make it.
Oh, unless that's true, unless they have another thing with another guy. That's obviously a more important guy than that guy. That one, as John McCain would say.
Right.
this was the one of the WikiLeaks. Saudi King, you mentioned this, Abdullah, urged the U.S. to attack Iran to halt its nuclear program, warning if Tehran were to go nuclear, other countries in the region would too. Yeah. The leaked papers also include what seems to be an order from Clinton to American diplomats to engage in intelligence gathering. Ruh-roh.
Oh, boy.
In her order, Clinton directs her envoys at the embassies around the world to collect information ranging from basic biological data, or biographical, excuse me,
biological
not biological.
Data? No, that's what
no
the,
urine samples, nothing
the
like that. No sperm
for.
Samples, nothing like that. No pat-downs. Biographical
data.
Ah,
okay. Mm.
On diplomats to their frequent flyer and credit card numbers and even biometric information on ranking North Korean diplomats. So that may gum up the diplomatic works if there are diplomats who are thought to be, spies.
Well, you have to kind of assume that that's going on.
I just know we want to pay for your flight at Christmas. Just give me your frequent flyer number. Seriously. I just want to know what it is. The Secretary of State.
So let's be clear. This disclosure is not just an attack on America's foreign policy interests. It is an attack on the international community.
But there's some very important stuff coming up on the whole financial meltdown that maybe even Nat Taibbi doesn't know about.
So
yeah.
So does that mean WikiLeaks is good?
I think so. Ultimately,
you got if you say WikiLeaks is good, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yep.
Well, it's first of all, it's not like, you know, this is news to us. We're like, what? The world hated us when Bush was president, and they kind of still do. That's kind of shocking. Hillary Clinton yesterday again.
What they will conclude is that the concern about Iran is well-founded, widely shared, and will continue to be at the source of the policy that we pursue with like-minded nations to try to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons.
Yeah, a lot of it, like you said, Jim, more embarrassing or, you know, whatever than it was stuff that I think that we don't know or that, you know, that's widely damaging. I don't know. I mean, it's it'll be interesting to see what they say, because they're saying, I mean, this is criminal and they're going to, I mean, but I'm saying I think that's the more important thing is wherever our security is. I mean, this is almost incredible. You're right, he's an Army private.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Bradley Manning.
Bradley Manning, yep.
Yeah. Suspected of stealing the diplomatic memos, many of them classified, and feeding them to WikiLeaks, may have defeated Pentagon security systems using little more than a Lady Gaga CD and a portable computer memory stick.
Hmm.
With the, what's that called? A flash drive.
Yes.
Yes. This is like, what's that, what's the Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy? It's like War Games. It's that thing. That's what it's like. They're able to hack into the Pentagon computer with whatever.
No.
It's an old movie. War Games. Yes. Matthew Broderick and what's her name? Ali Sheedy. I went to school with her. I know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
he said, Manning told a confidant, no one suspected a thing. I didn't even have to hide anything. And Attorney General Eric Holder obviously saying there's an ongoing criminal investigation.
CNN is reporting this morning that a friend of Manning's said he was teased for being gay. And so that's why he may have done this.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Magically. Maybe overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell could... Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, once again, threat to our national security. Just saying.
Hmm. In
his internet chat, Manning described the conditions as lax to the point that he could bring a homemade music CD to work with him, erase the music, and replace it with secrets. He told a computer hacker who would turn him in that he lip-synced along with pop singer Lady Gaga's hit Telephone while making off with, quote, possibly the largest data spillage in American history.
If you do the hand motions along with Telephone, you kind of give yourself away as being gay.
I would have used Poker
no
Face.
Need to ask.
I would use Poker Face myself.
No, Telephone's a better song.
No,
yeah,
I like Poker Face.
No,
yes, Telephone. Jim, what were you?
Oh, I'm just saying,
yes.
One of the details we found in some of these diplomatic dispatches is that Saudi donors remain the chief financiers of Sunni militant groups like Al-Qaeda. Just interesting.
Yeah. Just in a kind of
not
way.
Really gossipy.
Mm-hmm. Eric Holder on this whole...
This is, as I said, an active, ongoing investigation. To the extent that we can find anybody who was involved in the breaking of American law and who has put at risk the assets and the people that I have described, they will be held responsible.
So you're saying if you were just lip-syncing to a Lady Gaga song and not doing the hand gestures, you wouldn't necessarily be given away as gay? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if you do the sandwich dance that comes along with the telephone video, then you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much up till there,
it's don't tell. But then it's like,
then okay, it's like you're telling everybody.
Come on now.
Yeah.
All right.
So far, this isn't exactly the Pentagon Papers. But
no.
That's...
Lady Gaga was not involved with the Pentagon Papers.
This country is just not what it used to be. Even this, Lady Gaga's involved. Everything. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Genius mystery DJ.
It was Stephanie Miller.
But this phantom of the airwaves changed the very face of college radio.
It was Stephanie Miller.
Your show sucked.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Attorney General, Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary.
I think it is safe to say that the president was, as an understatement, not pleased with with this information becoming public, the stealing of classified information and its dissemination is a crime.
Yeah, but Pentagon Papers, as I said, helped stop the Vietnam War.
The Pentagon announced new approaches for how it will safeguard information. Apparently anyone with a doing the sandwich dance with a glow stick and a Lady Gaga CD
computer says no.
Automatically just cannot get entry.
A glow stick that doubles as a USB flash drive.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Sure.
For how it would safeguard information
stick.
In the wake of
it's
the
a disco stick, yes.
WikiLeaks. the Defense Department's new initiative, which include both short- and long-term solutions, aimed to prevent the potential for another theft of classified information. For example, officials said they were disabling all write capability, you know, write as in writing, write capability, to removable media such as thumb drives or disks on DOD classified computers as a temporary technical solution to mitigate the future risks of personnel moving classified data to unclassified systems. Now, it would be interesting if that's true, that this guy did this because he was being teased about being gay. It brings everything all magically full circle.
Well, John,
you've got anti-gay bullying in schools, and also that why Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned, why it's a threat to national security.
John McCain would just use it as an excuse to keep gays out of the military. See what they do?
You see what happens? They start dancing to Lady Go-Go or whatever.
All right. Eric in Ohio with some WikiMooks. What? Steph, I've been reading the latest WikiLeaks and dump and came across something I thought would interest you. From Jim Ward to Chris LaVoy, subject line, I hate Stephanie. I don't know how much... Wait a minute. I don't know how much more of Stephanie I can stand, Jim. Every morning she forces me to grab her ass. Being gay, it's not like she enjoys it. It's just a power trip for her, and I'm the one who does all the work. She's such a bitch. God, I hate her. To Chris LaVoy from Jim Ward regarding I Hate Stephanie. I know what you mean, Chris. Having to pretend like grabbing her boning ass is really demeaning. If Disney hadn't stopped paying me for Finding Nemo, I'd quit this sucky job. She's too dumb to even understand that Cheney was behind 9/11. I hate her, too. Well, thank you, Eric. It's not like that's new information to me that the mooks hate me.
That wasn't supposed to get out.
No, Stephania! No!
The truth is, Jim and I really have no contact outside of this show at all.
And your hostility toward me is pretty right out on the open on the air.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to do it behind my back.
Right.
It's part of the show how much you hate me. Russell in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Russ.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hello, go ahead.
I have a couple of comments. I'll give you a warning. I'm on an iPhone on Malibu Canyon, so if I disappear, you can probably figure out why.
You know, most people tell me that before they start a conversation with me, just given the fact they'll probably want to get off the phone fairly soon. So,
I don't want to get off. I spent 22 years in the Army. I was in communications. I worked with classified computer systems. Then I've been working since leaving the Army in Middle East diplomacy, so I'm pretty familiar with this kind of message traffic. A couple points. One, even though these things say secret, which often sounds very sexy, it's what we call a collateral classification. It's not really all that secret at all.
Mm-hmm.
Things get classified for all sorts of reasons. The second is diplomats have always done this. I do a lot of research with archival work, and you can look at British diplomatic traffic from the 19th century saying Americans are a bunch of backwards rubes, they're ignorant, they don't know which fork to use. Diplomacy is extraordinarily gossipy.
Right, right. Yeah, I suppose. Are there any of these that you feel are damaging, though?
Well, I think actually the besides the issue of how he got access, which is actually quite easy, it's the damage to other countries that concerns me. The Saudis, for example, the legitimacy of the House of Saud is predicated on the king's autonomy from the United States. So if Saudis are able to see that he actively cooperates with the U.S., that he even sometimes encourages cooperation between Saudi Arabia and Israel, that could be problematic for the rule of the country.
And where is it? Was it Yemen, the guy going, yeah, we'll just keep saying there are bombs. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously is going to complicate, foreign affairs in a lot of areas, I would think. If people think it's not, there's no way for it to be confidential.
No, it's just it's going to make it a lot more difficult for some of those countries to cooperate even overtly with the U.S. because now they're going to be worried people are looking over their shoulders.
Yep.
But often this kind of diplomatic message traffic is kind of the foreign policy equivalent of opposition research in elections.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know everything you can know about a foreign head of state.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Yeah, it wasn't supposed to get out that Meg Whitman's a whore. I mean, allegedly, or just as part of general, it was not vetted information. It was just, you know, things are said in campaign offices and in diplomacy offices, just, you know, by way of being a water cooler chatty.
Meg Whitman's a whore?
What? I didn't say that. Steve in Parsons, Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Well, good morning. I had quite an experience Sunday. I went and watched The Queen of Quit at a book signing in Andover, Kansas.
Oh, really?
Hey, I had a really cool spot. I was like at the end of the main entry of the parking lot. I was like two cars in, and I had a big sign that said Queen of Quit with an arrow pointed in the direction of the store. And it was a very civil crowd, which surprised me. It was almost like a church crowd. These people had these, like, Jim Jonesian looks on their faces that they were going to see, you know, whoever.
Yes.
And it was just really, really strange.
Hmm.
And but it was, you know, I enjoyed myself immensely. They made me put my sign away after about 45 minutes because I was on private property, and the nearest public property was about 100 yards away. So I just put the car or the sign in the car.
You're lucky because I think you can technically be shot from a helicopter for that. is the rules for the Palin book signings.
It was very windy. It would have been a tough shot from above.
Yeah, or you can be clubbed like a halibut. Apparently, I think those are in her. That's in her rider for book signings. But congratulations on surviving.
Yeah.
Let's go to John in San Francisco. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
What I notice is that a lot of these leaks tend to support the dominant paradigm about the war on terror and the need to invade Iran. And with Eric Holder being able to shut down 88 websites selling Chinese purses, you'd think that he could shut down WikiLeaks. So to me, this all just smacks of more American propaganda. It's all part of their psyops.
Hmm. Okay. So you... I'm confused. Is this a conspiracy theory that Eric Holder or we were behind leaking this?
That the information was vetted, and what's leaked is to the benefit of the continued expansionist, militarist point of view of a lot of the administration. And that if you look through all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing out in it that talks about how Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. There's nothing in it that talks about how the bankers have been ripping us off since 1913.
Well, that's coming, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
The bank stuff.
Maybe. It's too easy for the United States to prevent something like this. If Eric Holder can shut down 88 websites that are selling bad goods from China,
mm-hmm.
there's no way that this can get out without the vetting of the United States government. It just doesn't happen.
All right. Your thoughts, Jim?
I suppose that's possible, that they're just letting out the information that benefits them, ultimately, little psyops, little jujitsu.
Mary in San Francisco as well. Hi, Mayor.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, and as the official independent bookseller of the Stephanie Miller Show, I have to say hello to Nick, who's a regular listener and one of my coworkers.
Hooray!
Anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, they're reopening this, WikiLeaks investigation, or they're opening this WikiLeaks investigation. Does that mean they're going to reopen the outing of Valerie Plame investigation?
Yeah.
Think of it as one giant WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I was just saying, Mary, I was just asking Jim during the break whether he saw fair game, because you just, I mean, it just makes you angry all over again.
Oh,
you
yeah.
cannot believe they got away with this.
Here's a double bill.
And not just
you.
That, but the whole Iraq war.
Here's
without
a double bill for you people. Watch Inside Job and then Valerie
yeah.
Plame, mm-hmm. and then your brain will just explode.
Yep, exactly. Thank you for that recommendation.
Ooh.
Tim in Madison. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I find it funny because I've been... My partner's a federal employee, and it blows me away that if you look at the pay freezes for the federal employees, it's basically the people who do the grunt work. Federal judges aren't getting a pay
right.
freeze.
Right.
That's Tim.
That's the thing that I don't like is that, you know, people just, it becomes like, oh, federal workers. It's like they're middle class people, just like you and I. They're nurses taking care of our troops. They're doctors. Yeah, go ahead.
We're complete middle-class people. I mean, he's a biological research assistant.
which means he basically he takes care of the animals. He helps does some experiments, you know, checks on what the experiments happening on the animals. What he does, reads the test results, and goes through it like that. That's what he does. He doesn't have a PhD, doesn't have a his doctorate yet. He's going to school for it.
Mm-hmm.
How are we supposed to survive now with 2 years of complete pay freezes when the races that we would get anyway really aren't that good? They're that great.
Yeah.
He can't. Well, I can't share his benefits because we're a gay couple. And now it's like, okay, can we at least go ahead and maybe we should go ahead and freeze the defense contractors' pay raises then, or their pay, because that's what really needs to happen. We need to lower our defense.
Well,
defense
no, it's true, Tim. It's a
just all federal employees.
It's a drop in the bucket, but it, you know, I think it's once again the president trying to reach out or trying to say.
Well, yeah, he's trying to reach across the aisle,
right,
to make sure
and
that
say,
the Republicans aren't
right.
angry. This is what Republicans want, but you know what's going to happen? They're just going to kick him square in the balls again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter
yeah.
what he does. He doesn't. He can't get away with anything. Anything he does,
yeah.
he gets beat up for. He's like that poor little nerdy kid in the corner in high school that every time he gives you lunch money, you still beat him up anyway.
yeah, exactly. Even when you cave into the demand.
Somebody probably paid that guy to elbow him in the lip during the basketball game.
yeah.
Just to prove the point, drive the point home.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, you know, until we get serious about where the real money is, and the real money, Pentagon, and
yep.
in these Bush tax cuts for the rich. I mean, but, you know, you're right, Jim. Here he is. He's trying to, and I get it that it's like after what happened in the midterms, he's trying to say, look, we all have to cut back. We all have to make sacrifices. And so he announced he would freeze pay for, that was the story that Tim was talking about. He announced he would freeze pay for civilian federal employees. And, you know, look. I kind of get it in the sense a lot of people don't have jobs, so to kind of go, well, you're going to keep your job, but you know, when you're not getting a pay cut, I don't know. He announced he would freeze pay for 2 years in a move that precludes a looming debate in Congress about how best to tackle the deficits. You know, and again, Jim, maybe part of it is politics that he's showing, at least he is reaching out, and the Republicans so far, I mean, they literally go on record as saying their version of compromise. It's a complete not the definition of compromise. It's
right.
The president, do it their way. That's and then you're like, idiots, that's not compromise. The president on this.
I'm proposing a 2-year pay freeze for all civilian federal workers. This would save $2 billion over the rest of this fiscal year and $28 billion in cumulative savings over the next 5 years.
Which is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. He said getting it under the deficit under control is going to require some broad sacrifice, and the sacrifice must be shared by federal employees. I'm asking civil service to do what they've always done, to play their part, lead by example. And then he said how much it's going to save. A federal pay freeze is one of the ideas, though, in the Republican pledge to America. So you're right, Jim. It's just it's a preemptive reaching out, I guess.
Yeah, but they won't stop until he adopts all of their ideas.
Yeah, when the new Congress convenes, Obama said Republicans and Democrats must take on the shared responsibility of addressing the nation's fiscal challenges. My hope is starting today we can begin a bipartisan conversation about our future.
How's that hopey changey thing working out for you?
Everyone's going to have to cooperate. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Not going to happen.
I'm just going to say we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Says no.
So, hell no, you can't!
Yeah, that'll be the meeting today with the boner and the chinless one.
Hell no, you can't!
What he said.
Exactly. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Representative Jan Schakowsky coming up next hour on the Stephanie Miller Show. What?
What?
Sorry, I dozed off there for a minute. George and I was up all night watching Kindergarten Cop, Jim.
Kindergarten Cop?
Yeah, it's not a tumor at all of any kind.
Hmm.
George in Tampa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Hey, good morning to y'all. Hey, listen, you know, it's so frustrating hearing all of us liberals just beat our heads up against the wall trying to figure out what the hell's going on? How could they do this? How could they be like this? How could they lie? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's so frustrating to be at that point. When I listen to the dealings with the president of Iran, it's exactly the same frustration I feel listening to him with his lies, his deceit, his denials, as it is with the Republicans. Since I feel the same reaction, I think it's the same program they're doing. The other thing is I'm halfway through that book by Russell Baker on the family of secrets with the Bush family. Oh my God, everything is fitting right into place with that. Nothing surprises me anymore. And the other thing is, we are so dedicated to working in a bipartisan manner that that wish is hanging us up. It's an ideal that is not going to be attained. And we could sit there and assume the same posture that the Republicans have, which is basically lie first, retract later, do the act and ask for forgiveness later, because the first impression is what accumulates in the population's mind and helps form their opinions. Retractions never have any effect at all. So anyway, I feel more comfortable taking that view because I don't have the question. I don't ask those questions anymore.
Well, unfortunately, like Representative Alison Schwartz said earlier this morning, we kind of have to be a little bit bipartisan because we need two votes in the Senate in order to get the Bush tax cuts through.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, there's no way around it. Yeah, sure.
No, it's depressing. It's well, and plus,
but
you know,
we
Jim,
need
I was,
a couple of Republicans.
I was saying this. I mean, we can say that's the point of us is be able to say screw them, but the president can't say screw them.
And Congress can't say screw them.
Yes, he has to say stuff like this.
Making sure that in the future we're not dragged down by long-term debt. This is a challenge that both parties have a responsibility to address.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and the other party, they have a responsibility to get you out of office is pretty much what they've... And they've come out and said that. You have to give them credit for that.
Yep.
That's our top political priority, or just priority in general.
Yeah.
President.
I look forward to sitting down tomorrow and talking about urgent matters.
That's today.
Like the ratification of the New START Treaty, which is so essential to our safety and security, and the status of the Bush-era tax cuts that are set to expire at the end of this year.
Both of which they're going to block, like the obstructionist asshats that they are.
And we look forward to elbowing you on the lip again.
Exactly. Have you seen John Kyle? Have you watched this, Jim? There's no, I mean, there is no rational reason to hold up the START treaty. And he's just like, well, we can't possibly get this all done. That's all I'm saying. It's a guy, it's like, why not? Last time they did it in like 5 days. What do you mean? I mean, I don't understand that an average American who's even lucky to have a job understands why in 3 weeks they can't get something so crucial to our national security done.
In my past life, I've worked with Senator John Kyle. He used to be easy to work with. Now he's just an obstructionist asshat. I don't know what's happened to him, but he's been gobbled up by the machine.
Well, you were saying it's like John McCain. I'm like, what is his problem? Don't ask, don't tell. And you're like, because he has to keep his crazy right-wing teabagger base that just put him back in office happy.
Yep.
Okay, so the president meeting with the Mitch McChinless and, what do you call it?
Boner.
Yes, the boner. This morning, appearing in advance of the White House meeting, House Republican Whip Eric Cantor said Republicans are not inclined to back off their demand that Bush-era tax cuts be preserved for all, including the wealthy.
We're not inclined to back off on anything.
John McCain asked if there was any chance of compromise on the tax question, replied, we don't want to raise anybody's taxes. Apparently, that's not the policy, Jim.
By anybody, they mean people making over $1 million.
It's not the policy.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Obama said he hopes today the meeting will mark a first step toward a new and productive working relationship.
Compute says not.
Based on, I don't know what he's basing that on.
Unicorn that farts glitter.
And he hopes the boner gives him a leprechaun that farts gold dust. Mm-hmm.
Have you checked out our Photoshop fun section on the website lately?
No.
Someone has posted a unicorn that farts glitter.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
So we got our unicorn that farts glitter.
Yay.
In a double bylined op-ed piece, the boner and McChinless signaled that any compromise with the White House on spending and tax cuts would have to be on their terms, which is the exact opposite of what the word compromise means. Check a dictionary. Then it's not compromise.
By compromise, we mean you compromise and we get what we want.
Yep.
Don in Madison. Hi, Don.
He's becoming very predictable. He's going to
take the money from the federal employees, and then he's going to extend the Bush tax cuts for a year, and he's going to pay for that. I mean, he's becoming so predictable. It's like Jim said, you know, he's going to give them everything he wants. At some, you know, at some point, he's got to say, screw them. I mean, everybody in the country that supports him needs to hear him say that. He's not above that. He needs to go out there and kick somebody in the blue balls and the orange boner.
Oh, dear.
Well, my. Oh, dear. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we got Right Wing World.
Should I have dumped that?
Maybe.
Mm. Okay.
We got Right Wing World. We got Celebrity Stack. We got Congresswoman Jen Schakowsky. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Tracy was going to say what I was thinking. Tracy in L.A. Hi, Trace.
Hi, guys. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good.
I listen to you guys, and you keep me from jumping off that ledge, but I'm there again.
Uh-oh.
I am so sick and tired of this administration. Maddow called it last night. She said he concedes every point before he ever gets to the negotiating table. And I called in and said this when health care was going on.
Well,
don't
right.
go in with a watered-down plan. Go in with a Cadillac plan and then negotiate.
Yeah, go in with single-payer. Yeah,
Can someone please tell him to listen to what we're saying? I mean, people are sick and tired. I have been working a two-day-a-week furlough for more than a year.
Right.
Stop trying to negotiate with these asshats.
Yeah.
They don't respect you. They don't care about you. They tell you they're not going to work for you, yet, hi, guys, come sit down. Let's have lunch.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
get over it.
Tracy, some of it, you know, is politics. And, you know, what else is he supposed to do after the midterms? Stand there and go, screw you, American people. You know what I mean? It's like, of course, I mean, some things are you know, something the president sort of has to do. And I don't know what else he can do but say we're going to sit down and try to work together. But you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that there's got to be another, you know, another sort of line that he's working on because
and show it. Let us see.
Right, because you know you're right on tax cuts. It's like don't start negotiating. Don't like, oh well, what if we raise? It's like, whoa, let's start with what we said, 250,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not much of a poker player, Jim, but it just seems like, you know, yeah.
Here are my cards. What do you think?
Well, right,
it all goes back to Lady Gaga. You need a poker face.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing it all full circle back to Lady Gaga.
Except I think that's meant as a pun.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
You know, you're buying a house or a car. You don't go, well, here's what I'd like to pay. I mean, I'll probably pay this, but my saying is what I... It's like, no, don't...
How about this? I preemptively give everyone a pay cut. And...
Yes.
Promise to do whatever you say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, looky, it's another unsolicited testimonial to the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors.
Oh,
why?
Really?
You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com. This one about SodaStream. Ken in Cleveland. Oh, says, dear Steph, wanted to let you know I'm extremely excited to get my very own SodaStream this year for Christmas. Aw. My crazy right-wing in-laws asked me what I wanted for Christmas, so I thought to myself, how can I make sure this benefits my favorite progressive talk show? Good thinking.
Computer says, yeah.
Okay, I didn't really think that, but I did think how much better a liberal the SodaStream would make me. I always recycle my cans, bottles, and plastic, but once I get my SodaStream, I can help reduce demand by not purchasing products bottled in carbon-belching factories. The only carbon-belching will be from me after drinking my fresh homemade soda. Okay. I just wish making beer could be this easy. No big deal, though. I can always stock up on boxed wine and enjoy crisp wine spritzers made with my SodaStream. What a good idea.
That is true. You okay?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm really excited to get my SodaStream this year, and we'll do my best to invent a drink dedicated to the Stephanie Miller Show for introducing me to such a fine product. Ken in Cleveland.
Maybe she needs a drink of soda from SodaStream.
I need to get one for the office, along with the one that I have at home.
You should. You have the power to do that, you know.
I do. I could set one up right here. All right. Oh, speaking of stuff to party over, Bridget in Ohio says, kids, don't forget to make some popcorn. Put on your footy PJs. Get in front of the TV. Tonight at 8 p.m. CBS. Rudolph!
I'm asleep by then.
It's not even December yet.
I'm asleep by then.
It's Rudolph.
Seriously.
It's our favorite Christmas special because we're an island of misfit toys here. Exactly.
Like the Grinch. Charlie Brown Christmas special.
No. Frosty the Snowman is the best one ever.
Oh, that sucks. No. Rudolph, number one.
No.
Actually, I'm sorry, the Grinch. Grinch, number one. Rudolph, number two for me.
Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph, Shiny New Year.
Oh, you like the suckiest Christmas specials ever.
Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Is that the one with Pia Zadora?
I think so.
It is, yes.
Here's how you know if it's good animation, and that is Jim Ward, voice deity, Emmy Award winning voice deity, is in it. This is an unsolicited testimonial to the power of Jim Ward.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Chris in Wisco says, so my kids have been streaming via Netflix, blah, blah, similar to the Steph cast, et cetera.
It's Crisco in Wisco.
Yes.
Yes.
Fairly Odd Parents for about the last 3 weeks constantly. I always try to score awesome points with the boys by saying, oh, yeah, Daddy's met Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward. Cricket, cricket.
Who?
I met the guy who does Chet, You Betcha. Mild interest, but still blank stares. He does a lot of the other voices, too. I get nothing. So in the best imitating of Jim's impersonation of a Chinese restaurant employee, you forgot fortune cookie. That gets him. It makes him crack up every time. Dad's cool again. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
I always love people doing impressions of other people doing impressions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. My friend actually asked me the other day, can do Edith Ann? I'm like, please don't make me do an impression of Lily Tomlin's impression in front of Lily Tomlin. Yeah. Please do not make me do that.
Do it now.
No. Damien in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, writes, if the borderline squeezy McField pants measures taken at airports these days could be called gate rape, does that mean the Alaskan lady's screechy interviews or sound bites can now be called a palinoscopy?
Oh,
I think,
yeah.
I think
very good.
It is a palinoscopy. Thank
yep.
you. Oh, you know what? Here's another airport situation that squeezy could have helped with. Woman strips naked on a flight from New York to Chicago.
I saw that.
Was she under the influence?
Jim, you know what Jim would have done? Jim would have said, let me get a blanket. Oh, I can't find one. Oh, here, I'll keep looking. Hang on.
Here, I'll keep you warm. Just
here,
let me get
me
on top of you.
Let me cover you.
Why don't these seats go back any further?
I love the news story says an emotionally disturbed passenger. Like, you kind of think, like, oh, you mean as opposed to the normal people that just strip naked on a flight and sit there?
Mm-hmm. It happens.
Mm-hmm. And emotionally disturbed.
Poop on the beverage cart.
That's
no,
true.
That's how you know you're really disturbed. An emotionally disturbed passenger who stripped naked on a Saturday flight from Chicago to New York will not be charged. It's on Delta. It's where all the good stuff happens.
Well, and she didn't have to go through Atlanta?
From O'Hare into JFK. Oh. Yeah. The passenger, a woman, stripped nude during the flight and was restrained on the plane, taken into custody upon landing.
She was in her late 20s, by the way.
Really, Jim? All right. I have Squeezy Stack Part 2. Has this ever happened to you, Jim? Man goes blind every time he has sex. This is kind of in the medical stack.
And in the warning stack. A medical warning.
A man was forced to seek medical help after going temporarily blind every time he had sex. He would lose his sight every time he climaxed. During intercourse, the patient was eventually... Well,
that's because his eyes are rolling in the back of his head. That's why.
No, that wasn't
it. Haven't you seen 70s porn? Cut to the face.
What? Who wants to see that? No, nobody wants to see that.
Have you ever seen Rick Overton's routine on how men after orgasm get like, they get bobbly baby head? Like, they can't hold their head up.
That's why.
The patient was eventually treated using drugs to widen his blood vessels. That was the problem.
Hmm.
Or to keep his eyes from rolling into the back of his head.
Of course, it could be a convenient excuse for adultery.
I didn't know who I was doing.
That kind of
I was blind.
That freaks you out during sex, actually, doesn't it? Don't do that with your eyes. That's freaky. No.
I wonder if that happens to Laura Ingram when she has an orgasm.
Ooh.
Okay, go ahead, do it. The guy probably goes temporarily deaf just to keep his erection. Hi, Drew.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I got an answer to your question when you said you don't know what Obama is supposed to do as far as, I guess, dealing with the Republicans.
He can't really have a press conference and say, screw them. That's our job.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is exactly what he needs to do. This is the same guy that was able to generate just a lot of good feeling, a lot of great feeling by speaking. That's his strength. Right now, he's getting his butt kicked because he's not doing his strength. Mm-hmm. Obama needs to be on TV at least twice out of the month, or even once a month, doing something. I guess you can call it a progress report. And the way that they need to pin the Republicans is they need to say, okay, this is what happened this month. We voted for X, Y, and Z, and the Republicans voted against X, Y, and Z. And call it, and he needs to say it in a way of, give it a corny name like the Republicans do. Say, okay, this is the comeback of America.
Yeah.
And
you know,
Drew, update it for the next 12 months, and then this is what we, because that way, as he gets to talking to people and people get, you know, kind of start understanding.
Right. No, Drew, I agree with you. I mean, he can't do it the way we do it. He probably should not use the word asshat or douche nozzle, but I agree with you that he probably should come out and say,
brag about the good things and point out the awful things the Republicans are doing.
Right, right, Drew. I mean, he should come out and say, this is what we believe as Democrats on the tax cuts.
And
I would also go, and here are all the latest polls saying the American people agree with us. Tell you what, call your Republican, you know, Congress people or senators and tell them what you want. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to frame it like that.
And the way that he needs to do it is it just needs to be like a simple, like a parent-teacher conference.
Right.
Because the people that he's going to have to talk to, he's going to have to dumb it down in that type
right.
of way.
Right. I mean, the START Treaty, he needs to say, I am the commander-in-chief of the, you know, of the United States Armed Forces. This is a matter of national security that is critical that we do now, as we have for however many years previously.
And
you know,
throw a Reagan bomb
in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Tag it with a corny name, like the Republicans do. Okay, this is the comeback as the economy comes. This is the comeback of America.
Yep.
Call it that, and then keep it moving.
Yep, thank you, Drew. When we come back, for instance, don't ask, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to fulfill the promise of his speech about, hey, we got some, you know, we worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we got some gay friends in the red states.
Yep.
He needs to, I mean, seriously, you need to, well, I'll tell you what the latest poll says, but I mean, we all know what they say, but he needs to say that. This is what the American people want. This is what we want. This is the right thing to do. This is a matter of national security.
This is what we've done. This is what the Republicans prevented us from doing.
Exactly. 17 minutes after the hour, back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Your sidekicks,
mm-hmm.
They're awesome. Those guys probably could have careers in voiceovers in Hollywood. However, are a hack.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number. Maria in D.C. Hi, Maria.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
I've been listening to your show now about 2 years, and I have 6 minutes left on this month's cell phone bill, but I found this important enough to leave the job and call in.
Okay.
Stephanie, the girl says she's about to jump off the ledge, and she is one of many. He does not have to play politics at this point. His base didn't turn out because they were demoralized. We did not have to lose the midterms. He has got to. And if you guys have any influence, if you know anybody over there, somebody get him the message. He has got to come out and take a stand. That's why we voted for him. We voted for something different.
Right. Maria, and that's what I was saying, is to me, I don't even understand how it's politically risky. The majority of the American people are with him on most of the major issues, including
exactly.
this tax cut issue, including Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Maria, thanks for your call. I mean, you can't cave into the wingnuts. This guy just...
this just in.
Virginia wingnut. Eugene Delgadio, he's a Republican. Of course, a Republican.
Sure.
He says the TSA pat-downs Jim promote the homosexual agenda. What? Huh? Mm-hmm. It's the federal employee's version of the gay bill of special rights, he said. Their non-discrimination policy, TSA. That means the next TSA official that gives you an enhanced pat-down could be a practicing homosexual, secretly getting pleasure from your submission.
Sure, practicing because he hasn't got it right yet.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why he has to practice
he's
on you.
You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or you could just have all female TSA employees, and that'd be the end of that.
Because the girls so much don't bother you. Girls feeling up girls. That's, you know.
Or girls feeling up guys.
Sure.
Saying.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
Well, it depends on the girl. But, you know.
Okay.
I'm sure there are some lovely looking TSA,
sure.
female TSA agents.
Is the Pentagon Don't Ask, Don't Tell study out today?
It is out today.
And it's not the policy. It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
It's expected to reveal that over half of service members support repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Bags of ass, all of them should be clooshed.
That's some rendition of basically what John McCain will say later today.
Yeah.
A day ahead of the release of that, a new poll shows a majority of Americans support overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Actually, this is the lowest number I've seen. This is nearly 60%, but I've seen most polls show around 70, but the Pew poll shows nearly 60% say they favored overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. 27% oppose.
I tried to run the ship by the book, but they fought me at every turn. These disloyal officers with their shirt tails hanging out. The strawberries! That's where I had them. I prove with geometric logic.
This will shock you. Republicans who say they agree with the Tea Party were less likely to support gays being able to serve openly in the military.
Really?
Yes.
That's so
38% only said they were open to it. 48% said they were not. Mm.
So more people want the sandwich dance in the military.
Apparently. Yeah, I don't, once again, don't get this. Lindsey Graham tried to dampen the hopes of Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal proponents on Fox
really?
News. He said, I don't think there's anywhere near the votes to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell on the Republican side.
Lindsey Graham?
I think in the lame duck session, Don't Ask, Don't Tell isn't going anywhere.
I guess he won't be asked back.
Lindsey Graham said this?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
What are you insinuating?
I'm not insinuating a damn thing.
Well, wasn't that gossipy and WikiLeaky? Did you have a WikiLeak that you stopped at the last minute?
No, not at all.
With an oral depends of some sort?
It's just funny that Lindsey Graham
said
that.
Yes, it is.
Confirmed bachelor Lindsey Graham.
Ah.
Just saying there is a, yes, it seems like it's just a roiling undercurrent, Jim. It's very subtle of racism and homophobia on the right, on the Tea Party side.
Mm.
For instance, I was reading, I said this, this Bristol Palin thing, not Bristol, what's her name? Willow.
Willow Palin.
Willow. Westall.
Willow.
Twig.
Twack.
It was a moment for leadership. I mean, if you were a parent, if you were Sarah Palin, your prominent, wouldn't you have said, this is not okay? But that's what I thought. Mostly missed an hour-long interview with Sean Hannity. I'm reading this piece on Mediaite. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's unprompted response to the uproar surrounding daughter Willow's recent Facebook misadventure, where she called a kid a F-word for gay man.
Yep.
I mean, it literally, she's always the victim, isn't she? She and her family, it's always some sort of horrible injustice. Her daughter gets on there and says something really homophobic and hurtful in a time when gay kids are killing themselves all over the country.
Her family's nothing but a bunch of whiners.
Not only does she undermine her claims of media lies by making stuff up herself, Mediaite writing, she also displays a disturbing attitude about the use of the word, F-word for gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Willow, finally, my 16-year-old, she said to Sean Hannity, she had it up to here with somebody saying very, very hateful things about the family and saying mean things about her little brother Trig. And Willow finally responded, and she used a bad word. First of all, that's a lie.
Trig was never mentioned.
Trig was not mentioned at all. She always uses that. I swear to God, her special needs child is some sort of, they were saying mean things about Trig. It's like nobody said anything.
Sarah Palin's the one using Trig.
The kid said he didn't like the show. That was all he said. He didn't like the reality show. And she calls him an F-word for gay man. Okay. Back with the latest on that, and Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Whoa, somebody just got cuter.
Oh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Was that Manning guy? Is it what you do or what you are?
Yeah. Huh? Speaking of which, this guy, the Virginia Republican, that warns that the TSA pat-downs are part of the homosexual agenda.
Yes, Manning.
Uh-huh. This guy. Uh-huh. He previously sent out a hilarious fundraising letter about it's the letter warned of the radical homosexual agenda. It was also marked by passages one might characterize as homoerotic pulp fiction, according to one. A retelling of a visit he made to some sort of radical homosexual petition factory in his telling of it.
I see.
One stormy night. Ooh, it's good literature already. I wonder if it was a dark and stormy night.
Dark and stormy night.
I drove to a mail shop hidden deep in a nearly deserted stand of warehouses. I'd heard something was up and wanted to see for myself. Oh, he's like Ted Haggard. He likes to do the outreach. He likes to see what's up himself.
Right.
He needs to study it. As I rounded the final turn, my eyes nearly popped. Tractor trailers pulled up to loading docks. I'm guessing that sweaty, muscled men were everywhere.
Shirtless.
Mm-hmm. Cars and vans everywhere and long-haired, earring-pierced men scurrying about running forklifts, inserters. and huge printing presses, trembling with worry. Sure, that's what it was. It was worry. Trembling with worry, I went inside. It was worse than I ever imagined. Row after row of boxes bulging with pro-homosexual petitions lined the walls, stacked to the ceiling. My mind reeled as I realized hundreds, maybe thousands more boxes were already loaded on the tractor trailers and still more petitions were flying off the press.
Oh my God.
Seems very concerned about whatever. Okay. Wow. All right. So we have a lot of issues facing us in Washington. Don't ask, don't tell, among many, many others, including the DREAM Act, who we want to talk to Representative Jan Schakowsky, our good friend from Illinois, about. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Stephanie.
Good morning. So we're a little frustrated. We're a little cranky this morning because we're just, you know, I know the president is meeting with Republican leaders this morning, but
as we speak,
yes.
Republicans and Democrats this morning and then Republicans tonight.
Right. But thus far, their idea of compromise is the president does what they say, whether it's on tax cuts, whether it's on the START Treaty, don't ask, don't tell. Let's talk about the DREAM Act, because this seems another, you know, it seems like all these issues are related, Congresswoman, in terms of national security, aren't they?
Well, they try and relate it to national security, although when we talk about the DREAM Act, we are saying that young people will be able to become citizens of this country if they've entered the country before age 16, graduated from high school, have a good moral character, that means no criminal record, and have at least 5 years of having been here continuously, and then they will be able to continue their education, they can serve in the military, and they can get in line to become citizens. These are often, I can give you examples of lots of kids in my district who came here as babies or as, toddlers, don't have any connection to the country from which they came. We invest in their education. They graduate. I've got a young man who's in the top 10 of his class, not 10%, but 1 to 10 in his class. He is about to be deported, or at least he's in deportation proceedings. It makes no sense. These are people who have made their lives in the United States and want to continue to do that. So the DREAM Act would make that possible for about 65,000 young people every year.
Well, right. Congressman, my point is that, to me, you know, this is something that helps national security is my point.
Okay,
as does overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
As does, you know, passing the START Treaty. And I'm just saying that this party that for years has said this is their top priority, you know, they're just, I mean, John McCain was for the DREAM Act. He was for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Sure.
I mean, it's what we're dealing with now.
These
it's just,
are young people, many of whom would like to serve in the military because they are undocumented cannot do that. And, you know, and if you just look at what's good for our economy, we need more young workers. We need more educated students. We are importing workers with H-1B visas, et cetera, to come and fill jobs that Americans are not educated to do. So it absolutely, in terms of the military and in fulfilling essential jobs, and getting just smart people to be able to contribute to the United States, it makes sense all around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, and we've talked to your colleague Allison Schwartz earlier this morning, and it just, I was saying, you know, it's so frustrating for those of us sitting on the sidelines. I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for you that it just seems like this wall of obstructionism, if anything, is hardening on all of these issues that, you know, we used to be able to, let's take the START Treaty. I mean, how can we not agree on that?
Isn't it just incredible? This is a situation where we're all so concerned about Iran. We want to get Russia to help us with sanctions against Iran, which is threatening not only the region but the rest of the world, and for reasons unclear to me, given the bipartisan support for decades for this kind of treaty with the Russians, why they would say no. I mean, they can't get over just saying no.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, and today, obviously, the Pentagon study is being released, and it just, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how we get anything done, Congresswoman, when we keep moving, they keep moving the goalposts. You know what I mean? It's just now John McCain is saying it's not the right study when you have a vast majority of the American people want this overturned, and it just, you cannot seem to get it. Literally, we hear the same thing every time, don't we? Oh, well, there just aren't the Republican votes for that.
You know, and one by one, we see these amazing young men and women talking about how all they want to do is serve their country.
Yep.
And that they have done that, of course. You know, that's the other thing that's sort of ironic. There are homosexuals serving well in our military right now. It's just that they can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and I think this is so much a generational issue that the old top brass may have some sort of problem with it. Younger people are over it. They are. This is not an issue. It's not like.
Well, but even the service chiefs in the military and Defense Secretary Gates, everybody says it's time to do it.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I guess I'm more frustrated than usual. And you'd think, you know, as you probably hear from the progressive base, I mean, it seems like the lame duck is the time we have that we still have majorities to get, you know, some stuff done that the American people clearly want.
Right. But this, you know, as you said, most Americans now, we're talking about mainstream ideas here.
Right.
These are not some sort of leftist views. We're talking about most Americans think it would be fine to have gay men and women to serve in the military. They do already. We need them to serve. We are very short in numbers.
Yep.
in the military. So this is not in the real world a particularly controversial issue.
Exactly. Thank you. Representative Jan Schakowsky, I more than ever appreciate your service and your taking time, because I would have lost the will to live by now if I were you. So I appreciate you even being able to raise your hand to the phone. Get in there. Keep fighting for us. Thank you, Congresswoman.
Okay, thank
All right.
You.
There she goes. Yeah, someone sent me, just if you want to get more depressed, Jim, here's a couple of headlines.
Oh, great.
Uh-oh.
Tea Party Nation president says it makes a lot of sense to restrict voting only to property owners.
Wow.
Maybe
what?
From now on, yeah. Uh-huh. Pryor says homosexuality is a sin, endorses a hate group in explaining opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal.
There are many gay property owners.
Hmm.
Many gay property owners.
Yeah. Yeah. Tea Party's got
fabulous
a little bit
properties.
Conflicting.
Very
yes, tastefully appointed.
Yes.
Impeccably designed and
in fact,
decorated.
That's the property that brings up the property value
yes,
in the whole
exactly.
neighborhood, for crying out loud.
I just wanted to finish this story since we're, you know, obviously yeah. the Pentagon study and Don't Ask, Don't Tell coming up today is just, and I pointed this out, and I just can't believe no one else said, I don't hear anybody say anything about it, that Sarah Palin should have said something about her daughter's homophobic Facebook rant, where she, you know, again, isn't that something you can at least agree on, is that kids shouldn't be calling each other the F word for gay man when there's so many kids killing themselves? Anyway, So she, but again, and then she lies. Even in, first of all, it's all about her poor daughter, poor Willow, and the media is picking on her.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is public. Even kids know that, particularly when you're in a famous family. And then she gets her facts wrong. She always throws out this trig thing. And nobody, do you know anybody? Do you know any prominent progressive, anybody that you've heard has made fun of her special needs child?
Not even non-prominent progressives.
Rahm Emanuel used the R word once, I think.
But that's just a complete lie. And why doesn't the media call this out? It's like this: Facebook is public. You could see what the kid said something vaguely snarky about the show. It wasn't even that. It was just like Sarah Palin's Alaska's fail on her son, or didn't like it, something. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, she was picking on her little brother, Trigg. And so it's like to try to defend this kind of...
And using Trigg as a tool, basically.
More disturbing, this on Mediaite, more disturbing, though, Palin's complete dismissal of the use of the slur, F word for gay man. From her response, it's not even clear she identifies it as a bad word, since the conversation she references contains a barrage of obscenities. In any case, she clearly felt that the use of the word or words was justified, and the only injustice was that anybody objected to it. And then they make the segue, by the way, which is timely today. This is consistent with the Sarah Palin who defended Dr. Laura over her use of the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very strange... You go, girl! Screams the N-word 11 times as a black person, and Sarah Palin decides to chip and to chime in via Twitter,
but
going,
I'll
rock on!
She got bent out of shape when Rahm Emanuel used the R word.
He should be fired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, would it make a difference if she had a gay son or daughter? I mean, then would she be up in arms about the use of the F word?
Tell me how that's unfair when people go, you label everybody racist and homophobic and the Tea Party. It's like, excuse me, there is a subtle and not so subtle undercurrent to all of this. Dr. Laura, by the way, she's got a new multimillion. Why, she's only leaving radio for a weekend, as it turns out.
Great. But now she won't be covered by the FCC.
Oh, thank God she has her First Amendment rights back. Why can't I get paid that much?
So she can say the N-word to her heart's content.
She can say the N-word to her heart's content.
Sirius said it has a multi-year deal with Dr. Laura to bring her show to satellite radio in January.
And we love Sirius satellite radio.
Yes, we do. She said she was quitting her radio program. You remember, to get back her First Amendment rights.
Right. Oh, yeah, because they were so rudely taken from her.
Yes. You know, a lot of states you can still get fired for being, let's just say gay, just to bring up one thing. But she said if she quits her own multi-million-dollar-a-year radio show to get another multi-million-dollar-a-year radio show. When exactly did she lose her First Amendment rights, exactly?
Yeah.
So she ends her the current program on December 31st, and then on Friday, and then the following Monday, January 2nd, she'll be back on the air. Oh, boy. All right.
We'll be back on the air January 2nd as well.
Let's hope. 6 minutes.
What? Wait a minute. Wait. Huh?
Unless there's some new requirements that you must yell the N-word in order to continue. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
One minute after the hour. Carol in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
You guys are great. By the way, if they say that you want to be a landowner, have to be a landowner?
Yes.
To vote?
Yes.
Yet, however, that famous Alan Simpson Commission wants to take away all the tax breaks for owning land. That would be a serious issue.
Yeah,
but
what
I really called is, I think it was Frank Rich the other day, I heard interviewed, and he said... he was calming people and saying, look, he may have to extend the tax cuts for the wealthy because what the Republicans want to do is force the Democrats to let all the tax cuts go, like for me, and that would make the economy worse, and that's their goal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they come out and say our number one goal is making Obama one-term president, I mean, that's what someone was saying. Could we get blowed up if we don't do the START treaty? Sure. But it would be a victory for Obama if we were to get that done. So we can't have that.
Sure, we'll all be dead or wishing we were dead, but we beat Obama.
Yeah.
Yes! We showed him.
Woo! Okay. Hey, guess what Joe Lieberman's favorite network is?
What?
Fox!
What?
What?
No way.
Yes. He said on Don Imus' show his favorite TV channels are Fox Business and Fox generally anything that Rupert Murdoch owns.
Especially The Simpsons. I'm a big fan of The Simpsons. I identify with Mo.
I wonder if he gets the spoon in between Rupert Murdoch and Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
Since Rupert Murdoch also in bed with Kim Jong-il, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, Rupert Murdoch and Fox News are funding the North Korean regime.
Hmm.
According to a story on Crooks and Liars.
Why does Joe Lieberman love Kim Jong-il so much, I wonder, and hate America?
I don't know.
I just watch Fox News for the cute blonde shixes. Don't tell Hadassah.
I have a feeling he does. He watches for the shixes. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Glenn Beck on the TV.
What is it that we make up? I would ask you to just take a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really believe that I could, or anybody here at Fox News, could just make things up and remain on the air?
Yes.
Yes.
And you prove it every single day.
Right.
Wow. It's on TV. How could it possibly be untrue?
Fox.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
It's not possible to bridge a gap close enough with liberals to want to get things done, because the things they want to get done have literally nothing in common with what I want done. We have nothing in common. The Constitution is an obstacle to them. It's the Bible to me.
Wow.
And I don't know about you. I don't compromise on the Bible.
Oh, I see.
So.
I see. Yeah, they.
Women should be stoned for talking in public or wearing poly blend.
Yes.
You know, slacks. Different. Yeah.
Poly blends.
And you have to be as stoned as Rush Limbaugh to actually want to sleep with Rush Limbaugh. But that's another story for another day. Glenn Beck on the radio.
How many liberals does Fox have on the network?
Not many.
Many?
Many?
Yeah. Not just guests, either. There are some who actually host programs.
Really?
Name one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you think of any? I can. Yes, you can. Yes. I mean, they come immediately. They spring immediately to mind.
Name them.
Yes. This idea, this notion, as I have clearly stated in the past, that there's no dissenting points of view on Fox. Mm. It's just ridiculous.
Yes, and the liberals that host shows on Fox are...
He didn't name one.
No.
He said many spring to mind.
There was one, Alan Combs.
All right.
And then they...
Take care now.
Yes.
Bye-bye then.
When Fox first started, Catherine Cryer had her own show on Fox.
Yes.
And that was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's some guy on Fox and Freaks.
Everyone around Obama treats him. They treat him, as Brian said, he's like the second coming. He's the one, the Messiah, this man who's been parachuted into this country to save us from ourselves. And it's a ridiculous. And the only way to handle Obama, I think, is to make fun of him. Because the guy is a ridiculous creature that we've been handed by the left.
Yes, there certainly is a prerequisite respect for the office of the presidency. He's not even human now. He's
a ridiculous Kenyan
socialist Muslim creature. Mm-hmm.
Was just parachuted in from some foreign area that I can't even pronounce.
From the planet left.
Why Republicans have
which
this pompous delivery?
Which is right next to Planet Claire.
She came from there.
Exactly.
She drove a Plymouth satellite.
Rush Limbaugh.
Another headline that makes me go, all right. Another headline that goes, yeah, give me more of it. Union drops health coverage for workers' children.
He thinks that's funny somehow.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
So they're all going to die of horrible diseases. Oh, that's great.
Okay. Oh, Riley on the WikiLeaks.
I want my leader to say, you know what, we find you. You're going to be in jail forever, or if I can put a noose around your neck, I'm going to do it. That's what I want to hear. Again, he just says, just ignores it. Hillary Clinton, one of the most robotic statements I've ever seen. And then we have Holder, who inexplicably hasn't done anything to Assange after the first WikiLeaks thing almost a year ago. So to me, it's another occasion, and I know I'm talking too much here, but I am upset about it. It's another occasion where the Obama administration simply will not show a sense of urgency to a very serious problem.
Well, but, you know, like you do when, you know, like phone sex transcripts are leaked or something, you
sure.
should at least settle immediately. You could threaten prosecution, but then ultimately Eric Holder should just maybe take that settlement of some sort. Make sure we know he's serious.
I want a noose around Andrea Macris's neck. Oh, did I say that out loud?
That's not who I meant.
That's not what I meant. It's not what I meant. Stop quoting me out of context.
All right.
It live.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do it live. And we'll do it live again tomorrow because that's what we do. And we will be doing it with Hal Sparks as it is Hump Days with Hal tomorrow. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno, associate producer, in for Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.